Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at nissanusa.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Some secrets are kept in the basement. Others in the morgue. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
The New Orleans terrorist attack and the attack that appears to be somewhat connected at the very least in Las Vegas at the Trump International Hotel is what we're talking about right now. There's a lot of questions still as of the point of this recording. So take it for that. We're going to talk about things that we know at this level right now. Bob Mata, defense attorney, joining me to discuss. I guess my first question, Bob, as a defense attorney, excuse me, both of these, the suspects, the ones who did this or, you know, physically executed it, are dead. Obviously, they are still looking for other connections, other people who may have been involved in this. Where are we looking at this legally? I mean, where does this go from here? Here, when you have the two main people that were there deceased?
From the criminal side of it, short of them finding some kind of conspiracy or co-conspirators, there's nothing. Like, you obviously can't charge dead people.
Yeah.
You know, if they're able to, through their investigation, determine that other people were involved, that there were multiple actors, then obviously that changes things in terms of them being able to charge somebody and convict somebody of the crimes, or at least try to convict somebody of the crime. So, you know, that's always one of these things in these cases where, either like in school shootings where, you know, the shooter is killed by mm-hmm. law enforcement or they take their own lives, you're not getting that justice mm-hmm. that we like to talk about, because there's no one to serve justice upon.
Yeah.
You know, you can't serve justice upon somebody who's deceased. There's no, you can't bring a criminal case for the principle of the thing. So, you know, short of them digging up some kind of connections with other individuals that were involved in planning, not necessarily the commission, but the planning of it, or helping secure materials, things of that nature, you know, at that point, then they'd have somebody to look at in terms of criminal charges. On the civil side of it, however, you know, but you could sue, right? You can sue for damages if you're the victim's families, you know, but the first thing they teach you in law school when you take torts class, which is kind of the personal injury realm, mm-hmm. You don't sue anybody that doesn't have any money.
Exactly. So, and yeah, what we're looking at here in these two cases, it does not appear that there, I mean, on the surface anyway, that there right. is anything to civilly sue for other than principle. But why, you know, why put yourself through it, you know, for something like
that? Yeah. And you're just going to be hard pressed to find any civil attorneys that are willing to take the case yeah. if there's no back end money, because yeah. usually civil attorneys are taking cases like that on what they call contingency, meaning, mm-hmm. okay, well, you don't have to pay us up front. We'll get our money when we collect at the end. But that process includes the attorneys really evaluating the strength of the claim and collectability of the judgment, because that's ultimately what matters in civil cases. Is it's one thing you can go get a $10 million judgment, but if the defendant doesn't have a pot to piss in, you're never collecting it. So what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, all you have there is a piece of paper with a judgment and it's got no value. So, I mean, sadly, there's a likelihood that this thing kind of like dies with the perpetrators.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, obviously there's a lot more to talk about with it in terms of motivations mm-hmm. and ramifications of what happened. You know, but I mean, I'm sure we're going to chat about that next.
There's a lot to come. And whenever you're listening to this, whenever you're viewing this, there will certainly be more developments. There's a bit of a delay between us recording and then it comes out. But as of right now, I want to talk about the similarities between the two attacks. The one that was done at the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas, and also obviously New Orleans. And the similarities that we have between the two, we're trying to figure out, is there a connection here? Well, they were both in the U.S. Army and both stationed at Fort Bragg for an overlapping period of time. That's the only time we can physically, you know, on a timeline kind of overlap a thing. These are huge bases. Everybody has to put that into mind. If you've never been on a base, it's a city basically. So to say, oh, this person knows that person, that's not necessarily how that works. They got the car from their vehicles from the Toro app. Beyond that, I mean, what's your thoughts here? Is there a connection? You know, obviously there's no coincidences, you know, sometimes. And we have two coincidences already in this.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you're adding the timing of it to it, mm-hmm. we have three.
Three, you're right.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, because obviously these two things occur within, you know, 12 hours of one another, or even a little less than that. And you've got the first thought, is this like a coordinated attack? Mm-hmm. You know, much like we had with 9/11, where we had multiple targets that were getting hit. So that's the first thing that pops in your mind. When you start kind of digging into these two individuals, the challenge for the feds will be to figure out if they were in communication. So obviously at this point, the feds have conducted searches and raided their wherever they were living to get all their devices. You know, if they were in communication, the likelihood is that they were probably using burner phones.
Yeah.
You know, paid phones, so that they weren't on the grid, so to speak. You know, but there's always chat rooms. There's always, you know, the interwebs from their computer devices to see if there was some kind of communication going on. I mean, that's the thing that they're going to be looking for. And really at this point, you know, they're trying to derive a couple of things. One, they're really trying to derive what was the motivation? What was the motive of this? What was the message? You know, like, is it something that there's a larger group out there that is of a mindset, whether it be political, whether it be religious, whether mm-hmm. it be a combination of both, you know, like what caused these people to do this? You know, the timing of it obviously being New Year's Day, you know, yeah. It's just there's a lot of, you know, we're pretty close to the inauguration of our new president, our former president. There's a lot of factors involved. You know, we have everything that's going on in the Middle East with Palestine and Israel. You know, we've mm-hmm. got what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. There's just so much stuff going on. I think there's going to be a real interest from the feds to figure out what was motivating these guys and if they're part of a bigger group, you know. So
and that's a question I have. I think one of the big questions here in this case is, are they part of a bigger group? And again, I got to preface this, when you're watching this or listening to this, we may have more answers than we have as of this conversation. But as of right now, we don't really know. But the fact that these, honestly, these were not extremely impressive attacks. It seems like it was a massive failure in security in New Orleans, and that's on the city for that. But beyond that, it's not, if the allowment is there for a vehicle to get onto a crowded street in probably the number two city in the United States for a terrorist attack at that moment, and they thought a squad car was going to fix it, I think there's a lot of questions to be had there if there's anything on the inside. I hope to God there's not, but I think that should be looked at, or it could just be incompetence. But the fact that this was allowed to happen the way it was, there's so many questions that arise from that as to how did this occur? Is this ignorance, you know, and obviously people are, there's crazy people out there. They're going to try and do these things. Why was it insane to put, or to, they did not put like concrete barriers up. It's basic things that could have prevented this sort of thing. That to me is another huge question to what the hell's going on in this case.
Yeah. You know, the Trump hotel thing.
Yeah.
You know, that was just, it's random. I mean,
I understand the Trump hotel thing. I'm talking about New Orleans. I mean, literally, Bob, I picked up an Uber in that exact spot about, when was I in Vegas? It was like 10 months ago around there.
Yeah.
And we were at the mall across the street, picked up an Uber, and it directed us directly underneath there. We were standing in that exact spot, and it's just spooky to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it makes you think timing's everything, right?
Yeah. Oh, completely.
The wrong place, wrong time. Completely. It's like, it's so true, man. Yeah. So, but you're right. I mean, in terms of both of the attacks, they were pretty amateurish. You know, it's like, like I've read about some folks that are familiar with the perpetrator in the New Orleans attack, you know, talking about like this guy, like actually with both of them, that both of them were pretty skilled from their army career in terms of like the level of what was done and the level of what could have been done just don't seem to kind of jive with some of the people that seem to know these people. Cause I mean, essentially what you have is a guy driving around a barricade, you know, but we've seen footage that he was walking on Bourbon prior to, you know, it looked like he left like a cooler filled with maybe explosives.
Yeah.
You know, so he had done some pre-planning and, you know, but your larger point, which is a really interesting question because, you know, like shy of New York, you know, in like Times Square, I can't think of an area anywhere in this country that consistently has more people on the streets walking around than those two locations. And, you know, I mean, I guess the question becomes, do we let the terrorists win? Do we move into this phase of where we've got to lock every single thing that we're doing down?
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, There are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.